The sermon series I've been preaching to you since the first of the year, and that is Go Disciple from Chad Hood's book. And we've worked our way up to one of the basic tenets of discipleship, at least according to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be his disciple if you don't do what the title of my message says today, and that is deny self. Because Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself. And then he mentions two other things, take up your cross and follow me. But we're just going to focus today on that first of three parts that Jesus said consists of basic discipleship. So turn your Bible to Luke 9:23. We won't even be looking at the whole verse, just the first part of that verse where Jesus deals with the subject of self-denial. I think it goes without debating today that we live in a self-absorbed society. And there's no better proof of that than the proliferation of selfies that people are taking. It proves that fact. And selfies, as you may know, are self-portrait photography taken with a digital camera or a phone camera, and they are sometimes held in the hand and pointed back at you. You can always tell if someone's taking a selfie because you can see their arms leading into the foreground, or maybe like this. And sometimes, though, they put it on a selfie stick, as you see in the picture in front of you, and that provides for a wider angle for group selfies. Selfies are often shared on social networking services such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Most selfies are, as I said, taken in the hand at arm's length, but some are taken by shooting at the mirror, and then sometimes the selfie stick is used. Speaking of the selfie stick, this last year, Disneyland USA and Hong Kong and Paris decided to ban selfie sticks, but not just them. This last year, the Sistine Chapel in Italy and the Palace Museum in Beijing banned selfie sticks. And right here in the United States, the Coachella Music Festival in California also banned them. And their rule states, and I quote, no selfie sticks, no narcissists. And according to marketwatch.org, they report people who post selfies on social networks are more likely to exhibit what some psychologists call the dark triad of personality traits, beginning with Machiavellianism, that's the manipulation of others, psychopath, acting impulsively with no regard for others' feelings, and third in that dark triad, according to psychologists, is narcissism. Narcissism. What is narcissism? Well, it finds its roots from an ancient Greek fable where there was a very handsome young man and his name was Narcissus. And the story goes that he was so in love with his own reflection, his own face's reflection in a pond, that he literally worshiped himself. That was the first selfie, I guess. And there are many people who are so consumed with themselves that God can't get any time for worship because he'd have to push them off of their own throne and altar of worship to get the time that only he deserves. There are these signs of narcissism. It's first defined as being a long-standing preoccupation with oneself, creating an overwhelming need for admiration. You know people like that? Well, then you might recognize some of these signs of narcissism. Extreme self-centeredness. excessive need for admiration and attention, unreasonable expectations of favoritism, arrogant behaviors or attitudes, and fantasies revolving around personal success and attractiveness. At the bottom of the slide that I'm showing you right now, there are three graphs that are pretty telling. The first has to do with millennials and selfies. Of course, millennials are that age category of folks born between the year 1980 and 2000. And according to rawhide.org, Rawhide being a nonprofit 501(c) organization out of Wisconsin that helps at-risk teens and their families. It's a Christian-based organization. They say, according to that first graph you see there, 55% of millennials have taken a selfie and shared it on social media. 74% of all images shared on Snapchat are selfies. And then finally, Instagram has 1,000 selfies posted every 10 seconds. Rawhide also reports on this slide that 19 of 20 teens have taken a selfie. Every year, teens spend almost 7 full work days taking selfies. Again, Rawhide reports that selfies can be unhealthy. They can perpetuate narcissistic behavior. They can lead to insecurity, self-objectation, addiction, damaged friendships. Here's a word you've probably never heard before. It's a psychologist term, body dysmorphic disorder. That is a mental illness that involves obsessive focus on a perceived flaw in a person's appearance. It also can lead to depression. An extreme case is the case of Dan Bowman, who tried to commit suicide because he could not get the perfect selfie despite spending 10 hours a day trying. In human beings, selfishness doesn't begin in your teen years. It begins at the moment of birth. When the baby comes into this earth, it is crying and red-faced, could care less about anybody else's needs. It wants his or her needs met right then and there. And that selfishness that is innate in each and every one of us intensifies the older we get. And if we do not address that problem as Christians, we disqualify ourselves from the basic requirement that Jesus gave for being his follower, and that is to deny yourself. I realize this is a subject that makes us very uncomfortable because many of us are very selfish. You might see yourself in a totally new way today. Jesus told his disciples, as I've already read to you in Luke 9:23, that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That's hard to do since it goes against every natural inclination that we have. But in chapter 6 of his book, Go Disciple, Chad Hood writes, and I quote, "Self is its own religion with two basic tenets." I've written those two tenets for you there in your notes in the worship guide today. The worship of self, or the religion of self, is number one, self-preservation. And if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we're going to have to deny this tenet of the religion of self, and that is self-preservation. We are inertly concerned about ourselves and what belongs to us. This is what motivates self-preservation. It's all about me and what I have. Lust, desires, dreams, and greed drive this tenet of worship of self. But I'll tell you something that drives it more than any of those things, and it's fear. Fear of what people might think about you, and fear about what they might be saying about you, maybe behind your back. If you had a restless sleep last night, more than likely, some of it had to do with this, a fear of what other people think about you or what other people are saying about you. And if you could deal with that today, it would bring such peace and rest into your life. This is what the Bible has to say about the fear of man in Proverbs 29:25. It says, "The fear of man is a snare." Young people, you've got peer pressure all around you. It doesn't end when you stop being a teenager. These adults all still have peer pressure. And peer pressure will trip you up. If you're constantly trying to fit the mold of this world, it's going to give you a poor self-image when you don't match up to it, and you'll find yourself ensnared. If you're constantly worrying about what other people are saying or thinking about you, then you will impose a prison sentence upon yourself, because the fear of man is a snare. And you need to set that fear aside today. You need to understand what the Apostle Paul said, and that is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. You know, you're worried about protecting yourself. I want to tell you, somebody can do a much better job of protecting you than yourself, and it's God. Abraham knew that. That's why he called God his shield and his defender. If people are saying things about you that hurt you, or you suspect that they're thinking things about you or devising plans behind your back, you just worship the God who is your shield and your defender, and he can do a much better job of taking care of those situations than you could ever do in a million years. All we have to do is take the focus off of ourself, and it'll give you incredible peace, give you an incredible rest. If you'll just try this today, and I know it's going to be hard, I'm not saying it's easy, but if you'll try this today, I believe that you will have a restful night of sleep this evening. Just stop worrying about protecting yourself. God will do that for you. Now, there is a second tenet of this religion of self. And if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we've got to worship Him, not ourselves. And that's why we must not only deny self-preservation, but we must deny self-exaltation. We cannot worship ourselves, but that is the natural tendency of every human being, is to put themselves upon the throne. And at the center of both of these sins, self-preservation and self-exaltation, is pride. Pride is a sin that easily besets us. And matter of fact, those two words, pride and sin, I've pointed this out to you before, the middle letter in each one of those words, pride and sin, is I. And when we put ourselves on the throne is when we start having real problems in trying to follow Christ. Because Christ won't have you competing with Him when it comes to worship and praise and exaltation. We've got to come to the place that we humble ourselves and become a servant like Jesus did, according to Philippians chapter 2. We need to put ourselves in John's place in the last book of the Bible, when he was invited into heaven's throne room, and there he saw the 24 elders casting their crowns before the throne of God. And in Revelation 4, verses 9 and 11, said this, and I quote, "To God, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and are created." God is the only one who is worthy of our worship. And if we would humble ourselves and become like a servant as Christ did, it would change everything, especially our broken relationships. Do you have broken relationships with family members, a spouse, a parent, a child, a grandchild? Do you have broken relationships with people you used to be friends with people that you used to love dearly? Well, probably the reason that you have those broken relationships is because of this last tenet of the religion of self. And that's self-exaltation, where I'm the most important thing and I've got to have my way. It's got to be my way. My friend, you'll never get to the place of peace and contentment and effectiveness in following the Lord Jesus Christ until you take yourself off the throne and put the Lord Jesus on his rightful place, and that is the throne of your heart. Take the matters out of your own hands. Put them in God's, where he belongs. He alone is sovereign. He alone is in control. I was looking this last Thursday on my cell phone. I have a Bible verse of the day that pops up on my cell phone, and it's just part of my personal devotion this last Thursday. I just finished writing this message, and I couldn't believe how it spoke to this subject of denying self. I want to put it up on the screen. It's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. It says, "And he," that's Jesus, "died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves." There's the key right there. Stop living for yourself, but live for him. That's Jesus, who died for these and rose again. Oh, friend, this is the gospel. Jesus died and was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if our faith is in him, we need to know that he did that. He denied himself so that we might follow his example in following ourselves. And in doing that, we will understand completely the mystery wrapped up in the gospel. And that is to be crucified with Christ. To no longer live for myself, and to take that gospel message to people who don't know him and say, "Listen, Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day so that you could have fulfillment in life, so that you could have meaning and purpose in your life." And that meaning and purpose is not wrapped up in you and your ambitions and your desires and your dreams and your goals and your greed and your plans. That's empty. That's meaningless. You'll only know him in a personal way when you deny yourself. That means no more self-preservation. Stop worrying what people are saying about you. Stop worrying about what people are thinking about you. It'll give you peace and rest. You'll have a good night of sleep tonight. And stop praising yourself. Stop worshiping yourself. And get a vision of him high and lifted up, where angels adore him and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." He alone is worthy for our worship. And that's why our entire focus is on him right now. At this pinpointed time of commitment, we have come to the time when it's a decision. It's a decision for you to deny self or to keep on preserving yourself and worshiping yourself. God's speaking to hearts right now, I know it. He's speaking to someone in the balcony, someone in the back, someone down here in the front, maybe even in the choir, saying, "You know what? You need to take that first step in discipleship. Stop worshiping yourself and stop worrying about other people and what they think and say about you." And you know what the devil's doing right now? He's getting right in between your ears and he's saying, "Well, if you get up and you walk down that aisle, what's the person sitting next to you going to think? Self-preservation. Or what's that person sitting back there going to say about you Monday morning at work or at school? Self-preservation." All the devil knows how to get us to get stuck on ourselves. There might be some that would say, well, what does he think he's doing? What does she think he's doing? I mean, it makes them look so humble. It makes them look so insignificant when they admit that they have a need. And when we do that, we're saying, he is the one that meets my needs. I'm denying myself because I have no answers. He has all the answers. So if you're here today and you need a Savior, won't you deny yourself and come to Him and start following Him? You know, there's some of us that made that decision a long, long time ago. But boy, self has crept back into our hearts and it's pushed Jesus off the throne of our hearts. And everything we do, it seems like, is dictated by self-preservation and self-exaltation. It's time for you to renew your commitment to Christ and to come back home and to put Jesus back on His rightful place of authority, the throne of your life. Maybe that means that you'll come and you'll join the life of this church today. God, we've been praying about where You'd have us to serve in a church. And God, we believe that this is a praying church. We believe this is a church that lifts up Your holy name in song and in prayer. And Father, we believe that this is a church that preaches Your word. And so, God, is this the place You're calling us to? If it is, You come. We'll rejoice as You come. So let's just talk to the Lord about it right now. Father, we just want to thank You right now for the truthfulness of Your word. So many times it hits us so hard. But Father, we're grateful that You don't hold anything back when it comes to the truth. And Father, I pray that Your word has found its target today in each one of our lives, that we would deny ourselves, that we would not worry what anyone would think or say if we got out in this aisle and we came down to the altar to say, I'm denying self to follow Christ. Father, that we would not worry about what the future would hold if we took ourselves off the throne and put You in that place where You're calling the shots day after day, moment after moment. So, Father, in this moment, we just forget about ourselves and we focus on You. And we ask all of this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.